Well, my title for today is, What Does It Mean to Be in Christ Jesus? What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Well, what does God the Father have in mind? If we were to think back to the days, if we could ever think of it that way, way back at the beginning, you know, in John 1, it says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and so forth. When they were together, it seems like, and this is Bill speaking, he doesn't know, obviously, but at some point there was to have been a decision made that somebody said, maybe they said, hey, I've got an idea. I don't know if we didn't say it that way. I hope I don't mean it being demeaning. Oh, by the way, hello everybody online. Forgot to address you all over there and wherever you are. Good to see you, if I could see you through the lens there, but greetings to you. But when God and Jesus Christ finally came to a decision, however long that took, I don't know, but they said, hey, let's make a family. Let's enjoy this. Let's share all this vast creation we made. Or no, maybe they decided that before, and then they made the creation in order to have this place where we... So here is the vastness of the universe, that whole big spectrum of the universe beyond us. Is that our future? Is that what he just put that there so that we'd have some understanding of what eternity is like and what enormity is like and what he is like in a physical way, whatever. But he had a concept in his mind. It seems to me he had a concept, something he's trying to pursue, an idea. He had an idea that we want to see it follow through. We want to see this idea. It's a concept that he wants to see fulfilled, right? So you think of some human concepts. Let's take marriage, for example. You have two people, they're relatively young, in their late teens and early 20s, ideally, whatever, and they meet one another, a man and a woman come together, and they think, I have an idea. What? Let's get married because we want to start a family. There's an objective here that's being met. There's a concept to to pursue, you know. And we're going to have a family. There's going to be, do I have the family? There is the marriage of these two people that have decided to commit themselves to their lives, commit their lives to this function that they're going to create, this family. And thank you that all those that ever have, and our parents did that for us when they got together. Well, let's take another one, an example. Here's a building being built, a construction site. At some point, that building that's not finished yet, but at some point, that was an idea in somebody's mind. Before it ever got on paper, before there were blueprints, before there were drawings, before they observed the land, picked out where the land would be and bought the land, whatever. Before all that happened, there was an idea. I want to build a building because of various reasons, okay? Next thing, we have John F. Kennedy back in the early 60s, about over 60 years ago, and convicted America, you have to put a man on the moon. Talk about an idea. Well, the Russians had already put Sputnik up, and they were kind of ahead of us, so we've got to match them and beat them. So he had the idea and put it out before the men, let's go and do this, go to the moon. And so they did. And there's Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin went there. Lance Armstrong was a bicycle rider. Anyway, there he is. And they accomplished. This was an idea early on. It was a concept, okay? That's what I'm trying to get across. And then the last one we have is a college students that have committed themselves to a career, and they decided some time ago that they want to pursue an education so that they can fulfill this career. Now each of these were done by people committed to fulfilling a dream. There was a dream they had to bring that dream and concept into reality. And the engagement of the participants, everybody had to participate in this. In the marriage, the husband and wife both have to participate in it. all the construction characters, all the guys that built the rockets to go to the moon. Everybody had to cooperate. And I heard two guys, that we had some members who worked on that back in the Gemini days. And everybody didn't cooperate, and everybody wasn't on the same page, but they went anyway. Anyway, that's another subject. Well, we've learned a whole lot of information during these days of unleavened bread. And one of the things we've learned, very key, we've learned about our goal, where we're going. When Jesus gave his life, we commemorated that at the Passover. We're committed to living a life without sin, right? The objective of unleavened bread was to put sin out of our lives. And why do we do that? Because our objective, God's objective, the one he is trying to create, the idea that he wanted to fulfill, what's the obstacle that keeps that from happening, to being successful? Sin. And like I said, one day I said, when I went to the feast last year, I got there early because I was helping with the greeters, and I was part of the committee for people that were there for the early meetings that we had for heads of departments, the department head meeting. And I got there and I went to the meeting and I said, I'm going to be in a good attitude. I'm going to have a right tone here. So did pretty much, but I noticed that different things about me were coming out during the meeting. By the time I got back to the car, I could feel the old me still there. And I'm driving away and think, why did I have to bring you along? Why did I have to bring that old man with me? Why couldn't I have left him home? No, he had to come along. Why did you? It's me, the old me, you know. But this is what gets in our way. And but don't we want to be engaged? Engagement. Think about the word engagement. When people are going to get married, they get engaged. Once you're engaged, you throw the gear before, and now you're committed to the marriage. And all of you are here because what happened today? When you started your car and you, what did you do? You put it in gear. The gears started going, and that's what drove you here. You were able to get here because of there was an engagement taking place. So what does this have to do with my title? What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Because I'm trying to give a little background. What I was trying to do there is establish a background of the concept that we're involved in, the concept that God has, the thinking he has, what he was trying to fulfill. And I'm trying to get us, help us to see that the concept that he has, we want to incorporate into ourselves so that it's our concept as well. It's not just his concept and we sort of meander along. We're trying to become like him. We're trying to let his ideas become ours. But the question was, what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Why did I say that? Because of a Bible study I did some time ago, back in December actually. And I've been working on this since December, but not all the time. If you'll turn to Philippians 1 and verse 1 and 2, this is what came to mind when I was doing this study. Philippians 1 and verse 1 and 2. Philippians 1 verse 1 and 2. Says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you, in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Sounds simple enough. But I looked at that, I said, wait a minute. How come three times he's mentioning something about Christ? Two of the times he says Jesus Christ. One of the times he says Christ Jesus. Why the difference? Why did he refer to Christ Jesus that time? Okay. So then let's go to Philippians 3, verse 3, and then we'll read verse 14. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." And then verse 14, go down here, says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You notice this trend, this repetition of this same phrase over and over. I did a study and went back through, and I didn't do all the books in the New Testament. I only went through certain books, 10 books of epistles of Paul and one of, I went through some others that I didn't have, but of Peter. There are 39 references of just the ones I found of this thing. Here's my list. Here's a list, my little notes. 39 points, 39 references to in Christ Jesus just in the books I looked at, let alone all the New Testament. So there's something significant here. What does it mean? What is he talking about? Why does he divide the thought of between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ, okay? But notice in those verses that I read, okay, there are different verbs or adjectives applied to that phrase. In verse 1 and 2, when we read that, it said, "To all the saints in Christ Jesus." There are saints in Christ Jesus, okay? When you go to Philippians 3:3, it says, "Rejoice in Christ Jesus." When you go to verse 14, it's the upward call in Christ Jesus. So something is happening here that we, I think, need to pay attention to. And so another little key word to this whole thing, it's an amazing little word. I've overlooked it for, I mean, how many years have we read these things? It took many, many years. I finally realized that little word "in." That is the most significant little word. In Christ Jesus. And to me, there's an important element to the word "in," because "in" to me represents an action or an energy. There's a dimension, there's an energy and a movement going on here, a direction. When you put your car, what do? When you start it up, you put it in gear, okay? There's an action taking place. When you came into this room, you came in the room, you came through the door, but you came into the kitchen, came into the fellowship hall. There's an action that you took place, that took place for you to be here. The "in," there's an action taking place. And to me, one of the greatest things about what we have in God's relationship is a dynamic energy. There's a dynamic movement to this whole thing. God's way is not static. It is moving, ever moving, dynamics, full of energy. If we understood the energy, if I can't understand it, the energy that's in God, the energy that's in the atoms that we live by, there are atoms in there. They're all running by energy. Energy runs us. We have energy running inside of us when you ate your snacks. You have energy in you. That's the physical part. But there's a spiritual entity. And Jeff was talking about the Holy Spirit. That is sure energy. And we have to have this energy to be part of his, what did I say? His plan, his dream, his concept that he wants to see fulfilled, like the marriage or like the building that was being constructed. But what is God building? Wow, something way bigger. Are we in that? You know, are we in it? So that would, to me, is part of that That little word in, boy, that is action. That's an action word. Okay? There's a dimension going on there, dynamic. So let's go back and look at those two. Jesus Christ, the difference between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ, at least in Bill Wilson's mind. I could be wrong. Everything here is subject to future, to be continued, as Frank says, to be continued. I don't have the whole answer, and I don't think I do, and I don't claim to. There's more to come on this. But for what I understand at the moment, I'm helping you to see. In Jesus Christ, you have the individual or the being, a person, if you will, that is next to God the Father. At his right hand is Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for us to be forgiven, who went to the grave, who was sacrificed. That's Jesus Christ. But to be in Christ Jesus seems to be more of a term. It's not the person, it's a term that's used to identify the process of being converted and engaged in the events that must take place for him to work inside of us to attain the many characteristics of the God family through Jesus Christ being in us. So Christ is in us, the Holy Spirit is in us, so that when we're doing the things we do, and have the things we have, such as rejoicing, such as the upward call, such as being saints, all that is part of being in Christ Jesus, part of the identification of who we are and what we are. So, I had 39. I'm not going to go through all 39. Aren't you glad? You can do that yourself. That would be a great Bible study for all of you to do. I can copy off this list sometime. You can tab it, but we're only going to go through a few of these, but let's go through some. Romans 3, and I want you to pay attention to the verbs or the adjectives that go with these words, because that's what's key to this whole thing. There's two keys. One was the in, and the other was these other words that go with it. We covered three already. Three. Anyway, Romans 3, verse 21 to 24. Romans 3, verse 21 to 24. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, see the difference? Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, there is a word, that is in Christ Jesus. So we already covered the saints, we covered the rejoicing, we covered the upward call. Now we've added what? Redemption in Christ Jesus. This is a whole Bible study in itself. So that's cool, being in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Romans 8, 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. What? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Wow. So, do we grasp the concepts? And these are things, aren't they, to pray for, help, please, like asking Father to supply me with your Holy Spirit enough to where I can understand your love for us, what it means to be redeemed. We can do a whole Bible study on just redemption, being bought back. We were in sin. We were good as dead. We were dead. But we were bought back by Christ's blood and by his sacrifice. But the fact that you are in that state of redemption, that state of being in that, is a description of being in Christ Jesus. It's a term used for this state of being that we're in, I think. So there's that. Romans 15:5-6. Romans 15:5-6. You want me to go through all 39? Romans 15:5-6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to what? Christ Jesus. This is one of the ones that doesn't use the word in. It says according to. So there's another element to this thing that he uses. I love this. I love this Bible study. I love how he puts these words together, and the phrases and the construction of the sentences. He has very specific meanings and the thought that goes into these things. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, so that now may the God of patience, back to verse 5, and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Like-minded. Are we like-minded to one another? Like you asked about the prayer for people. People in Chicago, you were mentioning how they put on a happy face, so forth, and you bring that to church. You don't want to bring all your woes and pains with you. But you know inside people are hurting, maybe, if you know their little circumstances. We all have our pains, we all have our agonies, we all have our hurt feet, or whatever it is we have. You know what it is, and you carry it with you. We know Gail has fallen, and she has her pain, so on and so forth. We have different situations, circumstances. And Connie, we know you have yours, and others of you listening in, you have your situations, and you're stuck at home or whatever you are, and you can't maybe get out. And you have your situation that you bear under. So, but we're like-minded toward one another in that we do care, and we love you, and we reach out to you and want to pray for you and ask God to we ask him through his intervention, intervene for you and for each of us and others that we love so much. And he said, Jesus said to pray for your enemies and be thoughtful for them, like-minded, according to Christ Jesus. There's a concept here I'm trying to illustrate. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, notice Jesus Christ this time, through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Look at the difference, you see. Refers to Jesus Christ twice here, plus another time in verse 3. Three times he's mentioned Jesus Christ by name, but one time he mentions Christ Jesus. There's a concept there, an element of a term that represents the state of being that we're in. And what is one of the characteristics here? The characteristic that's stated is sanctified. We already had redeemed, we had the other things, now it's sanctified. Each of these is a building block to the whole package. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. 1 and verse 30. It says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." This is one of the most exciting verses of the bunch here for us, because it says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus." And when I read this one, I got excited, because this has to do with each of you. Each of you sitting here, and me hopefully standing here, each of us are in Christ Jesus just by being here. We are enacting the engagement of God's will being done literally in us right this minute by being here. The fact that you came here, you thought to be here, you love being here, you wouldn't want to be any place else on earth except here, unless it was another service. But you, it says you, "but of him you are in," put your name there, Jeff or Ampy or Clive, "but of him Clive is here in Christ Jesus," or Dale is here, or anyone, you know, we're all here, Diane and Jean, everybody is here, you are in Christ Jesus by your being here. This is an action taking place. This is not static. We're on our way to something. This is. There's bigger things beyond this. And he's taking us to those bigger things. But this is a process of getting there, going there, being prepared for it. Oh. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, another one. 4 and verse 15. "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ," here's one of those times where it's just an "in Christ," not "in Christ Jesus." There are a bunch of those too. I made a list of those. "But in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." So there's a begettal taking place here. In Christ Jesus, begotten as children. Colossians 1 and verse 3 to 5. Colossians. Let me get to it. Of course, I could just read the screen, but that would be too easy. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. That'd be too easy. You read it. Colossians 1, 3 to 5. Oh, I'm in Philippians. Whoops. Okay, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and by your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." So, we have faith in Christ Jesus, another important element to this whole concept. Faith must be involved. Faith must be involved. And then let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's another big topic. We have a whole booklet just on grace. So you couple grace together with faith, together with sanctification, together with sanctified. I mean, you said that, and being brethren together. All these things join together. It's a whole fabric of things. Can we understand? No, not now. Too big for me. Anyway, 1 Peter 5, one of the ones that's in Peter. 1 Peter 5 and verse 14, last verse in 1 Peter. It says, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So there's peace involved in this concept. I'd like you to do as a little assignment for you, maybe this week you can do it, or sometime in your near future time of study, to go through the chapters in 2 Corinthians. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 together. And go through them with a couple different versions of the Bible to review and keep understanding the flow of the thought going through there. Well, he's describing, you know, the need to give help to the brethren in Jerusalem. He's talking to the Corinthians, but he's mentioning about the Macedonians and how the Macedonians were such a good example of faith. They had nothing to speak of. He says you have nothing, but yet you were so willing to give. And they gave. That's where we get that verse is more, let's go read it. Don't just quote it, Bill. Say it. Look it up. A friend of mine said years ago, don't just think you'd memorize it. Look it up. So it says, we often read this for the offering. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We always read that verse. But that verse is among all the other verses that has to do with this act of the giving of the goods that needed to go to Jerusalem. Well, when you read these two chapters together and study it and look at it, you'll see it doesn't say the term in Christ Jesus here. It doesn't say it. But it's got to be a reality of what being in Christ Jesus is about, is having this love, this concept of deep, committed love that goes beyond the physical. And these people are filled with this joy. They have such a joy to want to give it. I remember my neighbor girl, she was about maybe 3, Urel, my neighbor girl. She came out of the house. I think she had a popsicle in her hand. She wanted to give me this popsicle. Oh, she had such beaming joy on her face to give me the popsicle. I said, Father, that's what you want. That's what that joy, radiant light in her eyes, wanting to give it to me. Oh. But isn't that what he was talking about in chapter 8 and 9, about what these brethren in Macedonia were willing to do? I think that's an illustration of what we've been talking about. So when we're thinking about what I said at the beginning, the concept of God, what is the dream he had? When he said to Jesus, or however they said it, I have an idea, let's make this family. And let's make them become like us. Now that's a project and a half, isn't it? And then what did we do with it? Well, we sinned. We got in our own way. We tripped over ourselves. I do that all the time, trip over myself. And you have to stumble, you pick back up, Father, forgive me, let's try again. And man is going to be, this is going to be solved. And we're going to be able to go forward. And we're going to be together, as you said, and all the other sermons we've had this week, Days of Unleavened Bread, is all about that. Putting away sin so we can get on with it. And get on with what he's got in store. When you're talking about Mary, I want to meet Mary. We talk about the resurrection. We don't know what became of her. That's the big question, what became of her. I always wonder, but we'll find out later. When we get there, we'll find out. Just trust God. He has that figured out. No worries. So one day we meet her. And what was it like to be there that day? And, oh, she will just be radiant, wouldn't she? Don't you want to just meet her? And everybody else. You know? So do we have a concept in our mind? Yes, I believe we do. I don't need to tell you more. But Chuck gave a sermon about carrying, he brought the log in, you know, that piece of wood, and he had, like Jesus, do we carry his cross? We have to carry our cross with us. And we bear up underneath what we carry, and the weight of it is sometimes heavy, and we need to ask God to help us with that. But Chuck was trying to help us to see the plan of God and what he has in store for us. And nothing doubting, going forward and going to him, asking, please help me carry the load for me. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 3. I think this series of verses capsulized what we're trying to concept, what the concept we're trying to get across. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. Let's read through this together, brethren. I know I'm reading a lot of verses today, but the point is we've got to understand this. It's better for him to say it than me. So let's read verse 14 to 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. You want to be strengthened. Tough this out. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, with you, you're the saints as well as the others, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church. What? By Christ Jesus. This concept throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go to it, brethren.